I had a, this was vision day at the ugly building. I had several visions. Some of them, I don't even know how long it's going to be until they'll let me share them. I just don't know. But he brought this one back to me again during that song. I saw a vision today of a young Japanese girl who lived in Japan. I think I know her name. I just can't say it. I'm not saying she's really alive or anything. Not a real human being. I don't know. But it's so real to me. You know how dreams and visions are, you know? I felt like I knew her name. She's about 12 or 13. Beautiful little young Japanese lady. And I saw in this vision her parents teaching her how to worship at an altar. And it wasn't the altar of God. It wasn't. It was one of those, I've just seen them in movies, shrine. Is that what you call them, where they have their idols and things, you know? You know, and all she knows pretty much is what she's been taught. You know, you grow up in that culture and you look to your parents to teach you. That's what you know. Never heard the gospel. I got the distinct impression she's alive today. Someone alive, really. And even if she's not, it's a type, I guess. Then in this vision, it changed. And I saw her just walking by herself down a busy street. It must have been somewhere like, a major city. It was a metropolitan type area. It wasn't rural. And as she's walking down the street, there's a big commotion going on. There's an outdoor meeting, and people are excited and shouting, and they're shouting hallelujah. And it's an outdoor type, I guess what we would call more like a sports stadium, although I'm not sure that's what it was, but it was some kind of an outdoor meeting arena. And the people were so excited, the admission was free. She wanted to see what was going on, so she went in, and the place was packed with people, and she had a hard time even making her way up towards the front to even see what was going on. And there was a platform there. Do you know who I saw on that platform?
Oh, my God.
I saw Pastor Dave on that platform. And, of course, in the vision, she went forward. She got saved along with just, I don't know whether it was hundreds or thousands, but I mean, they just, that altar call. And the miracles were happening like everything. The miracles were happening like everything. This is the part I don't like. At the end of the vision, I heard a voice. He was talking to me. Now, I'm not saying he's talking to you, okay? He said, how long does she have to wait? How long does she have to wait till Dave comes? I've called him. It's been a mess over there today. You know, we've the message has come to maturity, the Lord said. And I don't know how Dave really interpreted that at first. I mean, I know what he said here, you know, that it's time to get the book out. Thank God the book is going out and it's time to get on television. But the more I'm understanding this, it's not just the message. It is the message coming to maturity so we can mature.
Yes.
And grow up and quit sucking on the bottle. And get to, have our bar mitzvah, if you will, and be declared adults fit for service in the family business. We've got kingdom work to do. We've got to understand these things. Time is running out. I want Dave in Japan, don't you? Apparently so does God. Gives me that vision, just kills me over there at the land, and then I have to come in here and be nice to you. You know? Just kills me. I'm just, you know? But anyway, last Wednesday, first I kind of gave you a report, and that is still happening, what's been happening with Sue and I since we made these decisions in our heart. Basically, since the first of the year, roughly around the first of 1999, it's still happening, people. I don't have time tonight to give you what's still going on. But I'm telling you, already through through today's date, which is what, April 28th for benefit of the tape, 1999, the total inflow of money to us from which to steward is more than double what it was through the same date last year. The Holy Spirit is involved in this. Do you understand? Now, we gave you some starting principles last week, which I'm going to, I have several notes that that I am going to talk about. Starting principle, you have to start somewhere. And from all those previous tapes and then last week, basically the message is this. How do you start? Somewhere in your mind, you've got to understand, we've got to get that mentality out of our mind that we are sharecroppers or farmers in the kingdom of God. We are not either. We are sons with an inheritance, co-laboring in our Father's fields to produce a harvest for Him. That's what this is about. We are not farmers. Now, there are analogies. There are analogies to farming, but we are not farmers in the sense of being a tenant or a sharecropper. Anyway, we have tapes on that. If that sounds strange to you, you need to hear those tapes. They're available. Anyway, now last week we talked, well, how do you begin? Well, somewhere, somehow we have to get a division in our mind or a separation in our mind between what is our provision for us to live on and what is the Lord's for us to steward. Go ahead and turn to Luke 17. Because what we're really talking about here is becoming a steward, if you will, financial steward that the Lord can trust to be His servant in this world, where through a series of qualification processes we get dead enough, mortified enough, and anointed enough, where He can get the money to us, but not only that, we're dead enough to use it like He wants us to once we get it. It doesn't do Him a whole lot of good to anoint you to make $1 million. If none of it, or hardly any of it's going into the gospel. What good is that? The $1 million most likely will take you out. You know? He doesn't mind you having anything. Really, the Bible says we're heirs of everything, if you want to know the truth of it. All things are for you. But anyway, so you have to start somewhere. And so we made some suggestions, basically. I told how Sue and I arrived at it. We went over our budget for the last 2 years, saw that we were living pretty much on a set amount. So we just averaged that over a 2-year period and set that amount, fixed it, not as a percentage any longer, but a set dollar amount a month. And then anything over that is the Lord's provision or the Lord's, that's our stewardship, what we're going to steward for the Lord or the Lord's pound, okay? For those of you that have heard those tapes. And again, it's almost like the Lord said, now, wait a minute. Are you telling me, Gary and Sue, are you telling me that you're going to be content, at least for this season, to live on this set amount a month? And if I was to have my Holy Spirit release additional funds towards you, that would be mine for the gospel? And you would use it according to my plan and not according, you wouldn't automatically consider that increase to be your own, but you would consider it to be the Lord's? Well, let me release some additional funds towards you and see if you're going to be faithful to stay with that decision. Well, that's exactly what happened. In the natural, we have not changed anything that we have been doing. We have stuck right with the mandate that the Lord first gave us. There's no point really going into it, but how we have not changed anything in the natural that we have been doing. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is suddenly moving on the hearts of people to bring in finances like crazy. To the point you start finding out a couple of those checks that He's had us write out, and again, I'd rather not mention actual dollar amounts, but it's enough to make you gulp. It's enough to make you go, you look around your house. I mean, any one of you could do this. I'm not, you know, hey, the Lord takes good care of us. But any one of us could look around our house or we all have things that we'd like to have. I mean, things that you could use a better one of, for example. And one of those checks in particular was enough to where you find out if you're mortified or not, you know. And what was as glorious as anything else to us. And again, I just appreciation for Dave's message. Even though we'd like, you know, we human beings, we'd always like to have nicer things. When we looked in our heart, we really were more excited about putting it into the gospel than anything we could have bought with the money. And we're still that way. And another part that's good, we have absolutely no fear. We serve a good master. He loves us more than anything. He already died for us once. I mean, how's that, you know? I have no fear. We're going to have it. Anything we need, we're going to get it. But we're going to get it from him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Does that mean you won't buy it? No, no. However he sends it. So we've learned over these 4 years, sometimes he just sends the thing. Sometimes he sends the money for the thing. But as long as it's him, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to get it any other way. Now, does that kind of bring y'all back up to speed where we were last week? Now, I've got Neri up here because she told me a little testimony. I want y'all to understand that even though Neri is a preacher by calling, as of right now, she's pretty much still working a secular job. So I want y'all to understand that this doesn't just work for preachers. We're going to have her give a testimony, and then we've got another couple that's going to give a testimony. And y'all just take your time. Neri!
Last Wednesday after Gary taught us, I called him over and gave him a testimony. I said, Gary, now I understand what the Lord was trying to teach me because I really don't understand. I went to a seminar and they were asking for pledges. So I said, Father, how much can I pledge? So I said, okay, I'm going to have extra money this month. So I pledged $100. Well, when I got back home, I totally forgot I pledged anything. And you had to send it in by the end of the month. I was praying and the Lord said, do you remember you said you were going to send them $100? And I went, oh God, but I don't have any money now. I spent it all. I said, I don't have the money. And I said, Lord, would you please give me the $100 and I sent it to him. Well, I guess about a week later, somebody walked up and gave me $100. But I totally forgot about the pledge. I totally forgot about what I told the Lord I was going to do. So I was at the store saying, what can I buy me with this $100? I got an extra $100. And the Lord spoke to me and said, remember that $100 is for the pledge. And I said, oh, I totally forgot about it. So I sent the $100 in and I was all excited because I was obedient. Then about a week later, somebody else came up and gave me $100. And I said, because I was obedient, God gave me another $100. And I was excited about that. I was trying to think, what can I buy me? And the Lord said, no. He said, that person needs some money. I want you to give that person some money. Buy that person that. Buy that person that. And so I told Gary, I said, I really didn't understand until you begin to teach on it what God was trying to do and teach me, because I thought it was for me. I'm honest. I just said, oh, I'm buying myself with this money. But I didn't realize God was trying to teach me how to steward his money and give it out and put it where he wanted it. I'm like y'all, each time it was mine.
Hey, isn't that precious? Don't you know the Lord loves that whole testimony and the fact that she's transparent enough to say it just like that, you know? See, that's where he's bringing us all. The prosperity message, we've been like little children with it. All the increase was ours. Yeah. Or let's say 90% of it anyway. And, you know, I have to say it again. I've said it several times. But as long as we stay with that mentality, or any increase that comes, 90% of it's mine. And 10% is the Lord's. As long as we stay with that rigid thinking, just carry that all the way to the end. What are you saying? In order for the Lord to ever get you to the place where you could even put, say, a measly $100,000 a year into the gospel, he's got to pass $1 million through your hands.
Come on now.
Suddenly now, maybe you've been living on $20,000 or $30,000, $40,000 a year or something. Suddenly now, in order to steward $100,000 for him, suddenly your lifestyle is such that you need $900,000 to live on. What are you saying?
Come on,
see, we haven't understood these things. And just, that's such a perfect example. All of our mindsets, it's not just Neri, all of our mindsets have been that way. Well, not at least 90% of the increase is mine. 10% is yours, Lord's. And I'm headed to Dillard's or wherever, you know. Hey, the Lord doesn't mind us having anything. He's not stingy. He's El Shaddai, you know. But he's trying to raise up some adults where we can become stewards for his kingdom. Now, I've got another couple or one or both. If you guys would come up, the Tuckers. or Tucker, as the case may be. And I'm sure there's probably many others. And I'd like to suggest this because, you know, we have some teaching to do tonight. But if you have testimonies, as you start putting this into practice, would you all write them down and kind of date them and give us a copy? And we may even make a little booklet or a handout. People need to understand that this is not just some kind of flaky doctrine or theory. This stuff works. And not just for preachers. Hallelujah.
Well, about 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, we had Gary and Sue over to the house, and we had dinner there together. We wanted to talk to them about all the things that he's been teaching and sharing, and we had a lot of questions. So we started talking with them and got a lot of the questions out, and long story short, there was a revelation that came forth to me, mainly, concerning debt. And as many of you know, we moved here from California last year. And in that move, the changing of jobs and so forth, we accumulated some debt. Before we left there, we were debt-free. But when we got over here, we had some debt. So unconsciously, in setting up our budget and all, I had the debt over on actually the stewardship side instead of setting it over on the provision side. And I saw that night. And along with some other things, but Pamela and I made a decision that night. We didn't do a lot of talking about it, a lot of praying about it or anything, but that night, this was a Thursday night, Saturday in the mail, we get a check for $328, something like that. Unexpected, we didn't know why we got it or anything like that. And that was confirmation of what had happened that night and us making that decision, just making that decision to do what God was showing us to do in that area. Well, then to take it a little step further, we had already made up our minds this month that we were going to look at our budget, really pray over it the entire month and set it up that this amount was going to be in the provision and we weren't going to move that or adjust that in any way. So the next Wednesday night was, I guess, last Wednesday. Then Gary was teaching this hard message on provision and so forth and getting it right, you know. Well, that night, the Lord showed Pamela an area that we needed to tweak in our budget. And it goes back to what he had told her after we came here last year, that there was a certain amount of money that was supposed to go into an account for ministry travel for us. And at that time, we had this debt, and we just moved and changing jobs and so forth, and we thought, there's no way we can put anything in here right now. So we just kind of put it on the back shelf. Well, that's what God had told us, and we've heard around here through somebody, won't mention any names, but whatever God tells you to do, you do it. We had not done anything towards that. And then the Lord reminded Pamela of that last Wednesday night. And so instead of taking what we would have taken, like that $328, and put it, you know, originally towards the debt, but now we're going to put it, we thought, maybe towards giving here. He said, put that towards that money that he had told us about before to build up that fund. And that was the tweaking part in it. Then kind of a confirmation of that, I heard this week, our company gives a bonus depending on what kind of production we do and sales we do and so forth, and it's given quarterly. In the first month of this quarter, it was tabulated to be a 42% bonus, which is very high for our company. 42%. So that monies that the Lord had told us to put together for this fund, it's going to be here before you know it. Then we can turn around and start giving some big sums. And just forget about that debt over there. It's taken care of in our provision. So glory to God. Do you want to say anything else?
3 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and told me that, because Michael and I we've done like most Christians, like Gary said, we've given until it hurt. We've done this, we've done that, you know, and nothing's worked. And so we've been in the same boat with everybody else, you know. And so about 3 years ago when we were had gone off for the weekend to spend a time of praying and seeking God about financial matters, the Lord spoke to me and he told me, he said, y'all's problem is not giving. And I went to Michael and I said, I know I heard God say that our problem is not giving.
Say y'all.
He said, y'all. He's from the South. And so, he said that was not our problem. And so we sat back, well, the only other side is the receiving end of it then, you know. And so then about a year went by and I met Gary and Sue here at one of the conferences before we ever moved here. And, we started getting their tapes and we started listening to everything that he was saying and teaching, and it just bore such witness on the inside of us that we knew that this was a truth that had been hidden, you know, from the body of Christ for 2,000 years. And it was like, my God, we've got to get hold of this. But one of the things I wanted to say was, just like with Abraham, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. I mean, Jesus, he didn't have to wait to enter into the things of God for however many years till Jesus came. The minute he made the decision in his heart to do what God had shown him and to walk that way, that's when he started receiving all the things of God. That was one of the big things with the two of us. We did very little talking, but we were at the same place at the same time, and we were in agreement that we were going to do this. And that's why there wasn't much talk that night. But we both made the decision, and before we could ever get around to putting the pieces together and start doing any of it, God already started bringing it in. And it's absolutely amazing. It's just amazing. So we get to help send Dave to Japan.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I know there was one other thing I wanted to say, and that, I'm sorry.
You didn't want to say anything.
I didn't want to say anything tonight, but they both know me better than that. I know there are a lot of women here, and probably men too, that don't have a mate like I do, and that prays as much and seeks God as much and things like that, okay? Don't believe the lie of the devil. Don't believe him when he comes to you and says, well, you can't do this. You can't walk in that. You can't go off and be a part of that because your mate is not in agreement with it. Let me tell you something. That is a big, fat lie. God never said there are exceptions to the rule throughout the Word of God. I don't find that anywhere. I used to have women come to me all the time and tell me, you know, how do you get blessed? Because I was married before. And I never missed out on anything. Not one thing. God taught me I could have it all when I was married to a sinner who was totally against any of this stuff. And God never, I never did without a thing. My children never did without a thing. It didn't matter whether it was prosperity, healing, whatever. It did not matter. So when you go home tonight and you sit here tonight and you listen to what Gary, you know, is showing us to do, don't sit there and say, well, that doesn't apply to me because. You need to go home and check out your reasons on the becauses. Because most of them, I guarantee you, in fact, I can't think of any right now that won't be lies.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, give them a round of applause. Now, with those kind of ministry gifts, do y'all find it surprising that the Lord is really interested in them building up an account to travel in? And share that gift with the body? I'm not surprised. That doesn't surprise me at all. I was asked by several wives, as a matter of fact, during this whole course of teaching these things, well, my husband, you know, what about me? Because my husband's not in agreement. And I've been really praying because, it's a legitimate question. And just like Pam, you know, I think that was the Lord that prompted you, because I was fixing to say something about it too. But I didn't know that part of your testimony, so thank God. Here's what I am absolutely convinced. You could take a 14-year-old kid on an allowance, a high school student on an allowance, that will learn these things and make this decision in his heart, her or her heart, to become the Lord's steward, and who understands these things. And if he would make that decision in his heart and raise his hand or however he makes agreement to the Lord his God, the Holy Spirit will move over continents to train and equip that young person to be a steward. Now you may say, I'm just a housewife. Give him a shot. Make these decisions in your heart. Listen to these tapes where you know you understand the principles, and don't you do anything your husband would not approve of. Now, what I mean by that is don't you be using the bread money, putting it in the offering. You understand? You do everything right. You stand back and watch the Lord your God begin to move, and you'll have some testimonies going, oh, I never expected him to do it like that. He is the God of the unexpected. He likes it. Our God really is all-powerful, you know. You know, we get to thinking, well, he's, you know, he can only do some things. He's all-powerful. When his people, I don't care if we're up against the Red Sea of debt, hemmed in by mountains on both sides and the hordes of creditors charging down the valley to put you to death. That's when his most astounding miracles comes forth, and he gives you what to say and what to do. Stretch forth thy hand and whatever, and the Red Sea parts, you go across dry shod, and all of your problems are swallowed in an instant. When he adds his help, there are no limits. But I'm limited because I'm a housewife. There are no limits. I'm limited because I'm single. There are no limits. I'm limited because I'm in debt. Yes, you are. But he'll get you out of that too. That's the number one thing we're going to talk about tonight, because that's the number one question I'm getting. Now, I'm sure we probably already have other testimonies. I just happened to be aware of those two. And I thought it'd be good for you and that we had time to share those. But others of you, as things happen, listen, if the body of Christ ever gets a hold of this, to where we can grow up and learn how to handle money righteously for Jesus, listen, this gospel might really get preached around the world, paid for, without the youth having to have bake sales. We can have them out doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is preaching the gospel and casting out devils. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, did I ever tell you to turn to Luke 17? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me just mention a few things here. Let me read this first. Okay, this is our vision. I really want to start in Luke 17, starting in verse 7. We are learning how to become first-class servants of the Lord. He describes that here, starting in Luke 17:7. Which of you, having a servant? Now, the Greek word for that is doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S, and it flat means slave. It does not mean hired hand. It means slave. Have you got that? Which of you, having a slave, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now let's look at a first-class servant. And especially the picture he's drawing here is the bond servant, a good one. In the Old Testament, a bond servant was a person that maybe they had been forced to be a slave, but their service time was up. Their debt was paid, and they were free to leave. They were a free man. They were free to go and not serve that master any longer. But if their heart loved the master, they were free also to do this. Say, oh, I love you. I love your house. I love your family. I love serving you. Please, by my own choice, may I still be your servant. May I still be your slave. Let me be your bond slave by choice. And if the master accepted that, then as a sign, they would put that servant up, up against a door, and they'd put a ice pick and awl through the lobe of his ear as a sign to everybody. This person is a bond slave by choice. Now, you know why they needed a sign? You better not be messing with that Lord's bond servant. This is owned property. Belongs to his master. You mess with him, you mess with his master.
Come on now.
You better leave him alone. The more I find out about this bondservant, the better I like the idea. You know? But that's the picture where Jesus is drawing this. A first class servant puts the needs of his master first. Can you see this? He goes out, he plows, he feeds cattle, whatever it is that his master is assigned to him that day. You come in from your labors and still the first thing on your heart is, Master, may I serve you? Have you eaten? Have you drunken? Is there anything I can get for you? You make sure that the needs of your master are met first. First. That's your heart. That's your meat, to do the will of your master, to make sure that his needs are all met. See, who is the ultimate bond slave? Who do we have as a picture? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. What part of his life did he claim as his own apart from the will of the Father? Nothing. Even to the death of a cross. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. You know, I must be about my Father's business. You talk about the ultimate bond slave. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the one we're trying to become like. Amen? Now, I need to just... Yes, sir. Okay. Now, we only have about 40 minutes. And so what we're going to do tonight, there's so many things I would love to get into. I could keep you here. Not just till midnight. I could keep you here for weeks. Okay. But he's reminding me again the nuts and the bolts, and so that you know what to do. Now, I think we pretty well got the starting point last Wednesday. You need that tape if you weren't here. Even if you were here, I think you need that tape. I'll be honest with you. I preached it. I've listened to it 3 times. There's a lot on there. Okay? And I'm still getting more off of it myself. But now, we're going to stick pretty close with the nuts and bolts now. Now, first off, don't start making a law out of this. Several people have already, you know, just by the questions they're asking me, I can tell they are so formula-minded. They don't intend, hey, I understand that. The Lord has had a real job getting me out of all the works and out of all the formulas over into relationship. You know, I'm just one of those persons. Hey, just tell me what to do. I'll go do that. Give me a formula, you know. He doesn't really like that. I mean, you know, he did that with a group of people for several hundred years. It's called the law.
Yeah.
It's full of formulas. He'd rather we have a daily walk with him and talk with him, real relationship, real fellowship, where we are doing, you know, we're co-laborers together in the kingdom of God. So don't be making a formula out of this. Listen. If you don't ever become his financial steward, the blood's enough. You got you're going to heaven. Get happy about that. Say, Brother Gary, my needs are so bad right now, I really don't even care about that girl in Japan. I'm just interested in getting the electric on. Well, listen, I understand that. I have been there. There's no condemnation, okay? Learn these things. There's really 3 stages anyway, like I mentioned Sunday. You know, there's the bird and lily faith where you learn he is going to take care of you. That takes a while to learn that. Took me a long time to learn that. Then there is the stewardship phase where you start learning these things. Then later on, glory to God, we're going to get into the anointing stage where you start transferring wealth from the world to the kingdom. But it's all progressive. This is not law. You know, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I mean, you may think you're just the biggest flop in the church. Well, thank God you're born again. I mean, I don't care whether you are or not, you know. Get happy. I get to thinking about it because I'm 52 and I listen. If you want to start talking about, if we wanted to start bringing out our condemnation lists, I'll compare mine with yours. I've done more bad stuff. Thank God for the blood. See, that's one advantage I have. I know without the blood, it's hell for me. There is not a shadow of a doubt of that in my mind. Without the blood, it's hell for Gary Carpenter. I know that. And if you want to bring out your condemnation list, I'll compare mine with you. My list is probably longer than yours. You know?
Well, hey, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We're all learning. We're all growing. This is not law either. Don't be making no law out of this.
Well,
now we can't. We've got to do this, and we've got to set this apart. Let him lead you.
Amen.
Stay in your prayer closet. These are things to learn. They're things to understand. We're not trying to force you to do nothing, and he ain't trying to force you to do nothing. He's trying to teach us and bring us along. That's the way the Holy Spirit does. He leads and he pulls and he says, now this is available if you'd like to do this. You know, here's how you do it. Well, don't be making a formula out of it, for crying out loud, you know. These are really principles. If you want to call them anything, call them principles, but not law. All right? The idea is to become more and more of a bond slave, a first-class servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to become those kind of people, number one, who have that kind of heart. Well, that's your prayer closet. So, well, I don't have that kind of heart. Well, get in the prayer closet long enough, you will have. Because he's putting the heart of Christ in you, those same motivations and same desires. He's a bondservant of bondservants. He is the ultimate bondservant. And as his heart's developed in you, you will desire to do these things. But if you're not there yet, probably the best thing for you is more prayer, not more giving. We already have a prosperity gospel out there based on giving. I tried it for a long time. I couldn't make it work. Maybe you can. Dave was the first one I ever remember saying, the motivations of the heart are much more important to your prosperity than that legalistic dollar you plunk in the bucket. I rewound that statement on that tape. What? What? Because everything up till then had been formula. You give your way out of every problem, didn't you?
Yeah.
You know, you're in debt, you give your way out. You know, you got marriage troubles, you give your way out. You got lost kids, you bring one of them memorial offerings and you get them saved, you know. I am going to be nicer this week than I was last week. That's a faith statement. There is no condemnation. Do you understand that everything this gospel is about is because he loves you?
Yes.
For crying out loud, do not let yourself come under any kind of law.
Amen.
This is not about law. We're just teaching. These are principles where if you, when the day comes, your heart gets to the place you want to become more of a steward, we want to have tapes and materials available for you to go down that path. Okay? Hey, I remember the bird stage, lily stage. Keep my electric on stage, please, God. You know, I remember that. Hallelujah. At that moment, I was not a whole lot interested in that. I said, hey, that girl in Japan got trouble. I got trouble over here, you know. I understand that. But our goal, at least on these lessons, is to become stewards. With a capital S-T-E-W-A-R-D-S. Stewards. Whom the Lord can completely trust to handle finances for the kingdom of God. Now again, you're going to have a hard time if you try and stay with formulas. This is going to take relationship. Jesus is alive and well. He is in a glorified body seated on the right hand of the Father in heaven. You are on the earth, but there is a bridge between him and you, and that is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings the mind of Christ to you on a daily basis as you koinonia, fellowship, have communion with the Holy Ghost. You'll understand the mind of Christ. Well, I haven't been. Well, you keep on, you will. Yeah, you will too. Hallelujah. That's the message that has come to maturity. Okay, now what I'm going to do is just go down a list here of very frequently asked questions. When you get on the internet, I didn't know what it meant. Every website you go to, there's almost always FAQ. Now, what in the world is FAQ? I mean, I haven't been around that stuff very much. Finally, I figured it out. Frequently asked questions. So I started making a list here of some frequently asked questions because they're legitimate. You need to know these things. Question number one, Gary. What if I am presently behind on my monthly payments? It's a good question. All right, now we're not talking about having a debt. You know, like, okay, let's just say a house payment. That's one thing. But we're talking about a situation where you're behind on your house payment. It's April. April's payment, say, was due on the 1st. And you haven't sent it in yet. Why? Because you don't have it. Okay? Hopefully that's the reason you didn't send it in. I guess there could be others. Or any other kind of payment, you know. But let's say you have made loans, you have made loans, you know, you've signed your name on the dotted line for various things or whatever, and there's loans. And now if you're current on your payments, that's one thing. You're in a contractual agreement there. You have given your word. Will you loan me this much money? Yes, we will, but we want you to pay it back at so much a month at a certain interest rate. Do you agree to that? Well, yes, I do. Let's sign on the dotted line. We have an agreement. And as long as you make these payments within this time frame, everything is fine. We're not talking about that situation. We're talking about where you're behind on the payments. All right? What do you do? All right? Turn to Malachi 1:13. Malachi. We're going to look at a principle. This is out of the law, but it's a type and a shadow. But we're going to preach a section of Malachi you never hear. I'm really being nice tonight. I could have said a bunch of stuff right there, and I didn't say it. I'm proud of me. Thank you, Lord. You're helping me, Jesus. Now, first, I'm going to read it out of the King James. Now, and I love the King James. I'm just like Dave. If you don't have a King James Bible, you can buy a real one after the service, you know. But every now and then, you know, even this translation, they miss it just a little bit. Now, here's the verse in the King James. It's not missed much, but just enough where you don't get it, what he's really saying. It says, Malachi 1:13, "You said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and you have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord?" Now, the word in particular here that I didn't get for a long time is the word torn. Torn in the Hebrew, that is the Hebrew word G-A-Z-A-L, gazal, and it's a primary root word, okay? So it's not like derived from something else. Now, torn is one way you could say it, but what it's really saying, let me get this here, is to strip, to rob, to pluck off, to exercise robbery, to take away by force, to take away by violence, or to tear. Well, just reading it in English in the King James Bible, you think torn. I always thought of roadkill. Well, that's what I thought it meant. It was a damaged animal. And it does mean that. I mean, that is one meaning of the word. But what about all that robbery stuff? See, none of that comes across to us in English. Now, I'm not a real big fan of the Living Bible, but on this particular verse, I think they did a better job. Malachi 1:13 from the Living says, "You say, oh, it's too difficult to serve the Lord and do what He asks. And you turn up your noses at the rules He has given you to obey," which in that day, they were under the law. They're saying it right. "Think of it. Stolen animals, lame and sick, as offerings to God. Should I accept such offerings as these?" Now see, when you're behind on your payments, now I love you, I have been there myself, this is no condemnation, but when you are behind on your payments, you have broken your word. You don't have any money. Well, you don't. I'm trying to get as nuts and bolts as I can. Now, if you owe your mortgage payment and it's $400 and you have not made that payment and you have $100 on you, is that your $100? If you put it in an offering, wouldn't that be a stolen offering?
Yes.
And if God was going to bless anybody over it, wouldn't He bless the man to whom it belonged? Now see, your first goal is to get current. If it's just, you know, we're trying to become more like Him. Is God's word good? I mean, your salvation hinges. His word better be good. You're basing all of eternity on it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God.
Amen? And if His Word, if God's Word's no good, He's no good. Well, now I have been there. Understand. We all, you're not unloved if you're behind. But you do need to understand, no matter how many, and I'm okay, no matter how many times you've heard to the contrary, you don't give your way out of that situation.
Amen.
Except by giving what you said you'd give to the creditor.
Yes.
Your word has got to be good. See that night that we were over here, that since it wasn't that, the offering portion's not normally on the tape, so let me say it again. That night that I was sitting over here on the second row, where I was counting, I so wanted to give, and the only thing I had on me was some pocket change. We were in that situation at that moment. Okay? We were behind on everything. We were robbing from Peter to pay Paul. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? The gas company can wait 3 more days. If I can make this payment today, they won't shut the electric off. I mean, I understand where that is, okay? And, but you know, even during those stages, you do have to eat. So we would, you know, we were doing everything we knew. I mean, everything we knew. And the trouble is, we didn't know much. We know more now. We know Him more now. That's the main thing. But we were doing everything we knew to try and get current. But we still would have to draw out $20. You've got to have bread. You've got to have milk, you know. It was just the least we could to live on. So, oh, I wanted to give that night. You know, I knew that I couldn't be writing no $50 checks, no $100 checks. In that situation. But I didn't think it would hurt to give my change. You know, just the change I had in my pocket. And that's where my heart was that night. I just so wanted to give something. I knew it wouldn't make any difference whether 85 cents or so went into that bucket or not. But I just wanted to give. Say, maybe that was even wrong. I don't know. But it's such a small amount, I don't think my creditors would have really cared. But I want you to, we were in that situation that night. I mean, for day to day, we didn't know whether the electric was going to stay on, the telephone was going to stay on, or what. That was in those, we still wasn't sure, maybe sleep under a bridge. We didn't know what was going to happen. See, but I did know, we did know even then, I could not take the money that, you know, $100 or $50 and be putting that in the offering here when I owed that money to PSO, Public Service, or ONG. So now your first goal, if you're in that situation, and I know we got everybody in this room from that situation to quite wealthy, well, compared to third world countries, you know, and maybe quite wealthy according to this one, I don't know, and everything in between. But these are legitimate questions. I mean, you can be quite wealthy and be behind. When we were in the real estate business, it's amazing how many people would buy these because they thought it was a good investment. They'd buy these big old fancy houses out in southeast Tulsa. Then later on, they'd be trying to sell them, you know, for various reasons. You'd go in there, there'd be one room of furniture in a 12-room house. You know? Just, you can't go by external appearances. They were barely making it. They were trying to do that as an investment. See what I'm saying? Anyway, that's another deal. Stay off rabbit trails. So your first thing, you can't be bringing a stolen offering and expect God to honor that. You know? You want Him to honor what you're doing? Keep your word. Get current on your payments first. Brother Gary, it's so bad. I don't think there's anything at this moment we can do to get current on our payments. Alright? Real nice. I don't know whether to read this or not. Some of you are going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to go get credit counseling. Some of you. Especially if this has been a long-standing problem. The Lord understands that. He'd much rather see you do that than to continue on the path you've been on. Start get to the bottom of this roller coaster ride to start out. Start up, I mean, you know. Some of you are going to have to cut up your credit cards. I try not to look at anybody, you know. Well, you are. You are. Because right now it's your Lord. You cannot not obey it.
Amen.
You know?
Preach on, Gary.
when the Roman soldiers came out and asked John the Baptist, well, what should we do? You don't have to turn here. Let me just read it to you.
He gave them some good counsel. Some of you. These are just things that can be done. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, John the Baptist, saying, "What shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." I don't need to ask any more about that. Some of you, these are things. You may have to attend some night school to improve your skills. Especially heads of the house. Heads of house with families to raise. So, well, the only thing I know to do is what I'm doing. Is that going to be what you're saying 5 years down the road? What about 10 years down the road when your kids want to go to college? You know? Now see, in my case, again, I'm trying to be very transparent. The closest Sue in we're on our 25th year of marriage, glory to God. The closest she has ever come in 25 years to nagging me, which Sue is not a nag. She really isn't. Boy, she has her ways, though, anointed of God to get my attention. But she said this herself the other day, so I can say it without getting in trouble. She said the closest I ever come to nagging him was trying to get him to learn how to use a computer. I had been out of school for so long. My last year of school was in 1969. And we didn't even start the prayer center until 92. So it must have been around 1990 when I first started. Got that first old computer with 1 mega memory. Can y'all even imagine such a thing? And a 40 meg hard drive? I remember it. Had an early version of Word Perfect on it. And I'd type, "How now, brown cow?" And you could go make a pot of coffee. I mean, make a pot of coffee. Pour a cup. Cream and sugar. You could saucer and blow it as we do down in the country, you know. Come back in there and sit down in front of the computer. And about then it was going, H. My mind, you know, would lock up trying to learn this thing. I hadn't been in school since 1969, and I mean, I'd read these books, and these books, they're written like you already know something, and I didn't know anything. And I'd read it, and I'd read them, and I'd read them, and I didn't want to. My mind did not like this, you know? And I'd read it so you can tell you, I'd finally read it. Okay, I think I understand what it said. And I'd go, click, crash. You know. I'd come back talking to myself in the, you know, wreck of somewhere. And I'd get on the couch. My brain would just lock up. I didn't want to see another word on that page, you know. And I'd sit there and I'd start praying in tongues. It was the only way I could get into relief. You know, I sonda, warring tug, sometimes cordela, I seemed to be also, you know. And Sue can tell you, my brain finally would kind of unlock and courage would rise up in my heart. More than once, I'd go back in there, Sue can tell, I'd walk in and I'd point to that thing. "You're a machine! Bow the knee! You will serve me." For benefit of the date, Sue stood up and shouted, "That's my man." It took her forever to get me started, though. And she did it ever so gently. Listen, that was as much, me learning that was as much a part of the plan of God as me standing here tonight teaching you. That's part of God's plan for my life. Being, you know, he had been really dealing with me on that for years. Some of you, he's been trying to get you to learn typing since you were 18. Well, he has. Some of you, he's been trying to get you into some kind of night class somewhere. You know, at Votech or something. You know whether he's been dealing with you or not. Well, how do you know? It won't go away. You keep pushing it down. Every time you get all quiet and everything, it'll come back. That's him. He's trying to get something across to you. He doesn't want you staying where you are the rest of your life serving mammon. Most of us. Most Americans, not just in this church, most Americans. I was under such bondage to mammon. When he did call me, I couldn't obey him. Took me 10 months. And long story there. 10 months before I'd ever obey him. Mainly because I understood mammon pretty well. I didn't understand God at all. But I was in heavy bondage, boy. We were in heavy debt. Anyway. Some of you are going to have to attend some night school or something to improve your skills. I keep doing this. For benefit of the tape, I keep turning around on every one of these because I don't want anybody to think I'm pointing a finger because I'm not. But I'll blame this one on Pastor Dave. I can do it because you've heard, this is what Pastor Dave says. Some of you may have to cut a bedroom off the house. Some of you may have to trade in that nice, big, smooth, comfortable, long, pretty automobile. You know, some of you. Now we're talking, now if you have those things and you're current on your payments and you're able to do what God called you to do, glory to God. But we're talking about if you're in trouble, especially if you're behind, you're going to have to make some hard decisions here and you're going to have to get humble enough to get some godly counsel. Let me read them over again real quick. For some, maybe credit counseling. Two, maybe you may have to cut up your credit cards. Some of you just going to have to learn to be content with your wages as you learn some things. Some of you are going to have to attend some night school or something, mail order course, something to improve your skills. And then some of you may have to cut a bedroom off the house or similar type things. But your first goal, if you're in that condition, if you're actually behind on your monthly payments, your first goal is to get current. Your word means everything. Your word means... You're going to be a steward of finances for the greatest kingdom on earth and you can't manage your gas bill? Let's get real, you know. Let's grow up. I sure love y'all. I hope you know that. I could preach you a real shouting message here. Okay, number two. One of the suggestions we made last week was that, and the Lord really, He suggested it to me in prayer. Most Christians are tithers, most of you. Most Christians are tithers. They've been used to living on 90%, giving 10% anyway. So his suggestion was, you know, it sounds good to me. Was that how Paul say that? It seemed good to the Holy Ghost in us. You know? Well, since you've been doing that anyway, but in your thinking, don't stay with the Old Testament concept of a tithe so much, but take that same 10% and let that be the starting point with, you know, that's your pound. You want to start with that. You've been doing that anyway. So you're going to live on 90, compute that, fix that amount at a set dollar amount. Again, if you're making, just for round numbers, if you're making $1,000 a month and you've been doing it that way, then what's your provision? $900, what's your stewardship? $100. Now fix that at 900. If you don't fix it, if you stay on that percentage thing, you're doomed. Because then any increase that comes, you're still thinking 90% of it's yours and 10% is the Lord's. And that's not going to work. It hasn't been working. It's not going to work in the next millennium. Okay? Fix it for now. You can get a raise later. We talked about that last week, how to do that. Now, but fix yours at 900 and let's make that commitment. All right, Lord, I'm starting with 100. This is my pound. This is my stewardship. Now, Lord, my commitment is, if you move by your spirit or you give me ideas or whatever happens to cause increase to come, I'm staying with my 900 for now. I'll talk to you about a raise later. But for now, I'm staying with my 900. And if increase comes, that's yours. Okay? So y'all, now, we go into great detail on last week's tape about that. Now, question I was asked, and it's a good question. Well, what if I'm, Gary, what if so far we haven't even been able to give our 10%? You know, we'd like to. We've always wanted to. But just to tell you the truth, right now, we're not able to do that. All right, go over to Luke 19. Y'all liking this okay? People, and not just here, but people that hear these tapes are going to need to know answers to these things.
The question is, what if I'm not able to start with the tithe amount? What if I'm not able at this point to start there? All right. Well, the answer, we'll see it here. The answer is, start with something. Start with something. I don't care if it's $5. You know? Whatever you have been doing, you're going to have to, and again, somebody say, well, I don't have a budget. I understand we may have some classes sometime on how to do that. But one way or another, you're going to have to start getting a handle on your money. You're going to be God's steward to handle wealth for Him? You don't know where your money's going? Grow up. That is not going to happen, not now, not next year, not the year after that. Grow up. You're going to have to start with something. Now, here's the principle. Luke 19, starting in verse 12, is where the parable, you know, where we teach on the pound. Now, I want you to notice, this is how He got this across to me. Let's go all the way down to... This is really the wicked servant, but it's where the clue is. Luke 19:20. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Now, napkin is the key word. If you look that word up in the Greek, the modern translation, what the word we would use today that would most accurately fit that word napkin, is hanky. Y'all know what a hanky is? A hanky is what you wipe your face with or something, you know. It's small. We're not talking bed sheets here. You know, a hanky. So what he's saying is, his allotment from the Lord, whatever it was, now, in the margin of my Bible, a pound amounted to about $15.5 when this was written. But anyway, it's a small amount. We're not talking millions. But he's saying, whatever it was the Lord allotted to him would fit in a hanky. So the principle is, start with something. Well, I'm not able to give the whole tithe. I'm not able to start stewarding the whole tithe. You know, just, we want to, we'd like to give more than that. But the way it is right now, well, can you start with something? Now, again, it's something set aside in your mind. I'm going to start, Lord, here. It's all I have. Maybe it's $5. Maybe it's $10 a week or something. Or a month. I'm not trying to give you any formulas. I'm trying to give you principles. If you don't, how are you ever going to become the Lord's steward if nothing is ever the Lord's? Amen. On a regular basis. Something has to be His, or you haven't even entered your stewardship. I know how I felt when that girl last Sunday gave me that penny. Now, boy, if her heart, you know, that's kind of embarrassing to go up and give somebody a penny. I understood it took some heart to do that, took some desire to do that. I promise you, she has that kind of heart, and if she will do these things that we're talking about, the day will come she'll be able to give according to what's in her heart, not what's in her hand. And that penny to me is more precious than a lot of things. It's worth a lot because it's the heart that matters. So, what if you're not able to start with the full tithe amount? The answer is start with something and do it on a regular basis. Something must be the Lord's on a regular. You got to have something to steward if you're ever going to begin. I don't care what it is. You and the Lord figure it out. But it's whatever you do it. It's got to be something so that when increase comes, you know it's His. They say, well, what if I'm behind? Well, when increase comes right now, you get current. Mm-hmm. That's first. Your word is your bond. Your word is you. Again, if God's word's no good, He's no good. Yes. If your word's no good, neither are you. Well, I mean, that's just plain, that's just the way it is. Now. Alright, now we come to the main one. Boy, this will have to be God for me to get this done. Here's the number one question. Should I get out of debt first? Now, this question, what they're asking me now is, they're not talking about getting current anymore. Now they're talking about getting completely debt-free. It's a legitimate question. Michael mentioned that. I went through this same thing for a long time, and I didn't really know the answer for a long time.
And I was kind of like Michael. I didn't really know whether that was on the provision side or the steward side for a long time. Now just get this straight. Your personal debt belongs on the provision side of your equation. You got into that debt yourself. Quiet. Now, again, we are not under law, but if you want to become his steward, just let me ask you a few questions about that debt thing. How long have you been trying to get out of debt so far? How many more years do you think it'll be? And knowing your past patterns, what are the odds you're not going to accumulate some more as you pay that current debt off? And while I will become his steward once I'm paid off, probably means you're never going to become his steward. Now, again, just trying to be totally transparent. The Lord has gotten us out of debt, not Sue and I personally, twice in our Christian life. The first time was a bunch, $250,000. The day I got saved in 1980, we owed $250,000. What was it on? All kinds of stuff. Cadillac cars, VCRs. We had a lot of rental property. Some of it was investments, but it was still a lot of debt. $250,000 is a lot. And wouldn't you know it, right after I got saved, the first thing, it went within a few months, our well-paying jobs, we were both out of them. I wound up, instead of running a real estate, or managing a real estate office with 60 agents, getting a cut off of everything they did, in addition to us selling and listing our own real estate, within just a few months. See, it's like Dave says, if your money's been coming the way of mammon, and the devil decides to pull the plug on you, you can't stop it. You know where I wound up? I was trying to sell everything. I was trying to do everything. I wound up, and I don't mean this disparagingly, I'm just telling you what happened. It's the only vehicle I had to use. I wound up within just a few months, once the devil pulled the plug on our money, driving my big fancy blue Cadillac car, DeVille, sedan DeVille de Elegance. You know, it's the one that's got everything. I'd load up the trunk with paint buckets and scrapers and ladders, little short ladders, drive it to North Tulsa, and go from house to house trying to find paint jobs so my family could eat. And I'd work out of the trunk of that Cadillac car. Now you talk about humbling. I work all day sometimes for $20. I remember I got one job mowing a field in that same area. I had an old mower, anything to make money, anything, just trying to survive in those days. This field was so high, the grass was so high, and just a push mower, an old push mower. I found a 57 DeSoto in there. Do you know there's a 57 DeSoto in his yard? It was, you didn't even have a clue it was in there, and I bump into this thing, there's a 57 DeSoto in there. And one time, in that same yard, I'm still mowing the thing. This rat, I swear, I thought it was a possum. It wasn't. It was a rat, almost as big as a possum. And he stared me down. He's like, this is my field. What are you doing here? You better get in your Cadillac car and get out of here. You know? What are you doing here anyway? Boy, I'll tell you, debt's a horrible thing. Now, the Lord got us out of that situation, got us out of debt. Then, as time went on, various things happened. A decade went by, that or more. When I, make a long story short, when I come to the Lord, when I finally obeyed Him, let's put it that way, 1994, and we decided to go full time, at that time we had about $27,000 worth of debt total. And he got us out again, $27,000 again, got us free again. The Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever, and He loves you. Well, even knowing the things that we know now, things have happened since then. And I'll just take, I don't know how to, medical things, a couple of medical things, dental stuff. We wound up, we've got a few thousand dollars of debt even now. Just a few, it's not a whole lot, but we got some. And the reason I had to say all that is this. When the Lord started teaching me these principles, then I had the same question because it's not a whole lot, but we have some debt. And so I had to decide again. Now when increase comes, what's the Lord's will? Do I put the increase on these debts? Because part of our mind, you know, we can justify it so well. Oh, if I was ever debt free, then all of the increase is the Lord's, you know. But see that is the trap. As long as you continue to think that way, who are you serving? Are you really the first class servant? So that when increase comes, the first thing on your mind is master, master, the needs of the kingdom. I put that first. Is that where your thinking is? And I don't mean to be looking at anybody. Is that where your thinking is, you know? Well, as long as my thinking is the number one thing on God's mind is me being debt free. Therefore, ergo, it follows that when increase comes, the thing I must do is put it on my debt. No, it's not either. If I keep thinking like that, which I have thought like that most of my life, then I'm not going to be much more of his steward the next 5 years than I have been the last 5 years, and that little gal in Japan will still be waiting for Dave to get there. See, what does your personal debt have to do with the people God wants to save tomorrow? When you end your life, I mean, thank God, I hope we all end our life with the testimony of being debt-free. That's a good one. But between that one, or I financed the biggest revival Japan ever saw, and there are tens of thousands of people in heaven here that are on my account. Between those two testimonies, I will take the second one. Thank you very much. Now, just to tell you, trying to be transparent again, remember the dream that the lady had? And we were to put in a certain amount, and it was substantial. Then that same amount next time, same amount next time, and then when we could, there would be a 5 times that amount. That day came quickly, within 90 days. Now, I'm faced with that same dilemma you're faced with, every one of you. Nearly everybody in here has got debt. That's the way America is, okay? And I'm faced with that same dilemma because that check that's in my pocket right then, made out to Dave Roberson Ministries for the 5 times amount, is enough to pay off one of those debts. It's a dental bill. I don't mind to tell you, it's a dental thing. You know? So here I am. I've got the same choice you got. Now I'm going, all right, now, what would a first class servant do? What's more important to the Father? With eternity in mind, what's most important? It didn't take very long. And besides that, what did the dream say? It didn't tell me to put the 5 times amount on my debt. If it had have, that's what I would have done. God speaks. He communicates. One of the way he does it is by dreams and visions. He gave me his understanding. He told me what to do. Bless God, we put it in the offering. Say, well, what about my debt? Listen, what about that debt? I'm not diminished. We are still making our payments just like we have been. The only difference now, in fact, really there's no difference on that side what's happening right now with what happened this time last year. I was making those payments then. The only difference is now we're putting much more into the gospel. And I think, the soil, you know, he's having us put it here in Dave Roberson Ministries, and I know the money here is used righteously. You know how I can tell? I can look around. I can see. They're not exactly lavishing it upon themselves here. Getting the gospel out with it. Dave's going to Brazil and preaching and doing all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, now, what do you think? You think my God is going to leave me in debt? I don't know how he's going to do it, but you're going to hear about it. He will get me out again. You hide and watch. Now, if he has me do it, just making the regular monthly payment till it's paid off, what have I been diminished? Come That's what I've been doing anyhow. Only difference is now I'm getting to handle lots more money for the king. You know? If he can ever, so he's free now to start giving me ideas and understanding and witty inventions. I'm looking for that anointing when it starts transferring from the world to the kingdom. Once he can ever elevate us like that, where there's enough money flow coming through, you know, like a river coming through. Why does he care? He said, take you a 5 gallon bucket, you know, take you a 5 gallon bucket of that, scoop you out a little and pay off that dental bill. When he says it, it'll be fine. See, and that's the key. Again, it's not law, it's relationship. When he tells you to do it, that's fine. Until then, I'm making my payments. We're not hurt. We're not diminished from anything we did last year anyhow. Can you see that? Hallelujah. We're doing pretty good. Now, this is the part. Give me a moment here. I have a warning to give you. Not only for you at the prayer center, but everybody that hears this by tape, you might as well know now, grievous wolves are going to come in and not spare the flock by perverting this whole message. Amen. Just like they've done in the past with all the other prosperity formulas, you might as well, prosperity messages, you might as well know, this one they're really going to get. How are they going to do that? Oh, real easy. You get somebody who's really serving themselves and not God as a minister, and all they got to do is twist it just a little bit. Bring you under law and say, you have to get anything above your needs, you have to give it to me. Now you might as well have some discernment.
Amen.
Grow up.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he would have me allow me to preach this message if we didn't operate the way we do, the way he had us do it. I'm not saying, and again, I'm not trying to put my mandate on anybody else. I'm just saying because we don't solicit offerings and because, you know, we don't even have an opportunity to do that for ourselves, I'm able to teach it, and you know I'm not after your money. I mean, if you give it, it ain't coming to me anyhow. You understand what I'm saying? Unless the Lord, what I tell everybody, please, if the Lord speaks to you, do that. Otherwise, forget it. You know? But boy, can you see how grievous wolves. So you better just know it ahead of time.
Yeah.
Walk in some discernment. Grow up. Because they get a hold of this. They'll be going, ho, ho. Hey, we thought they'll throw that sowing and reaping out like yesterday's laundry. Because now they're going, now you got to give us everything above your basic needs. But you better just know it's coming. Grievous wolves. Paul said it. They're going to come and not spare the flock. I'm praying you guys have some discernment. Okay? He gave me a vision today, and I am flat scared to read it to you. The only way I'll do it, I have to preface it with this, and then we're going to close. There's a lot, well, by the way, there's a lot more questions as time goes on. And be honest with you, I don't mind you asking me questions as, you know, as they come to you after service and stuff. I prefer you write them down. And I tell you right now, I don't know the answers to all of them. And when I don't know, it doesn't embarrass me to tell you I don't know. I didn't know how to separate provision from pound a month ago. Y'all remember that? Or a few months ago. I do now. But I am genuinely interested in your questions. And if I know the answer, we're happy to share that with you. If I don't know the answer, we'll keep praying until we do know the answer. We got the access to the perfect teacher. He knows all the answers. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost, not Dave, although Dave's close anyway. Hallelujah. Or Kim. Hallelujah. Now, even before I read this to you again, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, but he killed me with this today. Had this vision in my spirit praying at the ugly building. And before I read it to you, understand this one's pretty rough. But the Lord is not stupid. He knows where we are. We live in America. He knows every blessed one of us practically in here is starting below zero. What I mean by that, most of us are in debt and got problems, and we've been serving mammon and didn't know it, and then we were serving religion and didn't know it, and we're just now starting to get free. He knows that. So the idea is not to hear this and then get under condemnation. The idea is to set your face like Jesus did toward Jerusalem, and let's start getting free. And it's progressive.
progressive. But now here's the vision. It started with this. I was just reading Luke 17 again. When I come to this part of verse 7, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle? How does Dave do that? Instantly. I got to learn to put my hand right there. Instantly. I had a vision in my spirit. And I saw a vision of the Lord. And it was like he was on earth. And he was calling his bond slaves early in the morning to receive their assignments for him for the day. And to one of these bond slaves, he said, I want you to go today and plow the south 40 acres. And he turned to another servant there, bond slave, and he said, I want you to load wagons with grain and go to the dairy to feed my cattle today. Now, isn't that the kind of thing that we read there in Luke 17:7? Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle? So here's the Lord. He's given his assignments, his work assignments, to his bond slaves for the day. That's what all of us want, isn't it? Get our assignment. All right? Well, each of these two servants immediately responded with, yes, sir. And they left the assembly of bond slaves to begin their work. Then I saw the Lord come to the third bond slave. And just as the Lord was about to give him his assignment, the bond slave spoke up and said, and he said it respectfully, but he said, my Lord, I will only be able to serve you for a small portion of the day. I've made myself servant also to another. Now, the Lord in this vision was surprised to hear the information. He was surprised to hear that. And he did not speak. And in this vision, he continued to look at the servant with nothing but love in his eyes. But his silence prompted the bond slave to explain further. So the bond slave continued, my Lord, I and my family have needs that you've not been providing. Therefore, I took it upon myself to borrow money from another master in order to provide these things. I must now labor first in his field in order to repay what I borrowed with interest. I do love you, though, Lord, and I want to serve you. It's just that I'm now compelled to work in my other master's fields first. I know you understand. And whatever time I have left over after serving my other master, I'll give that to you. And with unending love still in the master's eyes, I heard the Lord say, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? I was shocked when I started hearing the Lord say those verses. Because what the servant was saying seemed reasonable to me. Why? Been there. Been there. Well, Lord, you know I'm in debt and I have to give most of my attention to those things. And I had never had really seen it quite so much as selling my life to work for another master. But that's really what we do. And then we think, though, that the Lord will, it's okay because whatever time I have left, I'll give to you. It sounded reasonable to me. And then when he said, you really can't serve two masters. So what does that mean? Set your face. The first decision is in your heart. No matter what your financial situation is today, make your decision today. I am coming out of mammon's fields. With the Lord's help, I'm going to get free from this other master.
And I am going to serve the Lord and serve my Lord alone. And I will be content with my wages. I will learn how to receive from Him. And I am going to be a good servant. But it's a progressive thing. Alright? It doesn't have to be progressive in your heart. Make the decision in your heart. And your master will start leading you out of every form of bondage until you're fully serving him. Now that may mean serving him fully in business, like Michael Tucker. You may be a full-time engineer and serving the Lord full-time. Because everything you do is for the gospel. Even the money you make. You might wind up like that R.G. Letourneau and only need 10% of your income to live on, giving away 90%. And you still be a multimillionaire. Michael likes it when I talk like that. So. 5 more minutes. I know this is kind of late. The bond slave of Christ is one because he chooses to be one. For love's sake alone. A slave owns nothing. A slave's life is not his own. His possessions are not his own. His time is not his own. Even a bond slave's family belongs to his master. Owning nothing, not even his time, the real bond slave is not expected to provide for himself. What will he provide with? The master must provide for the slave. We serve the most generous master in the universe, and his love for us is endless. His resources have no end. And we may confidently rest in his provision. To remain his bond slaves, we must not continue to sell ourselves out to another master through debt. Hallelujah. Y'all okay? That pretty much killed me today. Oh, God. Because I've still got some debt, too. Boy, my heart. I'm telling you, that decision's already made in my heart, and I am coming out. My master's going to bring me all the way out to you, watch. Did y'all get anything out of that? Well, we ran over a little bit, which is not my normal thing, but these things are so important. Hallelujah. Michael, come on in. The Lord's been showing me again the gifts that he puts in the body. Apostle, prophets, teachers, so forth. We have all kinds of meetings. Don't y'all love it when that anointing is flowing like water and Andy's running around the service and Daisy's running right behind him and people are drunk in the spirit and falling out and devils are coming out on this side and people are getting healed over on this side. And that, don't you love those kind of services? Hallelujah. Did y'all know this is just as much God?
Yes.
Teachers are put in the body to teach.
Yes.
And because if we, it won't take that many. I think we all should work on our stewardship, but if just a few in this room, if just a few by tape, really latch hold of this and start tapping into the unlimited anointing of Almighty God. When it comes to wealth transfer, it doesn't take very many. God raised up one man, Solomon, to steward the wealth of virtually the entire world, and that man wasn't born again. He is the shadow of what's available to us.